Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is September 1st, 2016. In turmoil, most just do not realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. It's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. You can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, email address, along with our mailing address on our blog, which is very simply prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. And if you want to just try audio archives, and you're on your smartphone or whatever, messiahsbranch.com. Try that out. Let me know how you like it. Also, you should check out branch.podomatic.com. All these are really smartphone friendly, so check them out. Remember, we are a national satellite program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, so pray about supporting airtime. And I want to thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Helsinki, Finland, Mexico City, Mexico, Baja, California, that's in Mexico, imagine that, Sargasso, Spain, India, Mumbai, India, New Delhi, India, Vancouver, Canada, Calgary, Canada, Toronto, Canada, Winnipeg, Canada, Montreal, QC, Canada, Israel. You know, really amazes me, and I've seen there's a few more. I'm going to change this next week to different cities, but there's a few more cities that's popped up in Canada. And you know what? All of them seem to be within about 100 miles of the border. Does everybody live on the border in Canada? Not trying to insult you, just curious. Anyway, and of course, cities in the United States like Sacramento, California, Town and Country, Florida, Corpus Christi, Texas, Anaheim, California, San Jose, California, Columbus, Ohio, Buffalo, New York, Washington, D.C., and that list goes on and on and on, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which still remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to Podomatic later on tonight. Now, prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, please give this nation another chance to repent and heal so Christians might have a safe place to be during these terrible times. And so that we might also bless Israel, all to glorify you and not to glorify the world. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not mine. And please give everyone out their ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Tonight's guest is an author. His name is Joel Richardson. He is a husband, father, committed to pro-life and adoption movements. He is an artist, human rights activist, New York Times best-selling author, internationally recognized speaker, and recognized expert on Bible prophecy and the Middle East. Joel's heart is thoroughly missional, with a deep love for the Muslims and the people of the Middle East. His books are When a Jew Rules the World, Mideast Beast, The Scripture Case for Islamic Antichrist, The Islamic Antichrist, which was really prior to that, The Shocking Truth About the Real Nature of the Beast. He's also co-authored with a book with Walid Shubat on the book God's War on Terror, Islam, Prophecy in the Bible, and the must-see documentary, End Time Eyewitness, The Global Jesus Revolution, The Battle for Jerusalem. Of course, besides these, he's made many other DVDs on the end times, and you can find them at his website called Joel's Trumpet. His website has a video program on it also, and if you're not over there watching it, you should be. It's called The Underground. So please, share it with others. Tonight, we will discuss yet another video that he's came out with. It's a very good teaching video. It's called Antichrist, Turkey, and the Coming Caliphate. Welcome now, Joel Richardson. Are you there with me, Joel?
I'm here, Pastor Dan. It's great to be back with you.
Yeah, it's glad to hear your voice, except I hear your voice all the time. As much as you're on the Internet and the other projects that you have, I feel like I'm with you most of the time, brother.
Unfortunately, I'm with myself all the time as well.
Yeah, I know how that can go, running into yourself. I find myself in that position. You know, you've been in several projects since it was just June when you was on the last time. Since then, you did The Battle for Jerusalem. You want to give a brief about that, and we'll move on to something else?
Yeah, the Coming Battle for Jerusalem is a five-part teaching DVD, which is where I'm teaching largely from my book, When a Jew Rules the World, just dealing with some of the key theological issues that Christians need to understand in order to stand up against the rising tide of replacement theology, in order that they can understand some of the basics concerning the coming kingdom, the very Jewish nature of the coming kingdom, and a lot of these issues. So that's a really good new teaching DVD. But then, of course, with this other one, Antichrist, Turkey, and the Coming Caliphate, I was out just recently in Colorado at a very large prophecy conference, you know, and all of a sudden, the news comes on that it looked like the president of Turkey, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, was potentially about to be removed from power. You know, it was shocking that, of course, by the next morning he had recovered. And so with the news that followed from that, I mean, to me, this is a monumental event that has profound implications with regard to biblical prophecy. I immediately sat down in the studio and recorded, five sessions? Yeah, I guess there's five sessions on that one as well. I guess there's six on the battle for Jerusalem, but yeah, so I did five sessions so that people can understand what is unfolding in Turkey right now. I lay out the history and help them to understand how it all relates to biblical prophecy.
Well, amen. And we're going to go into that. I've got some questions lined out, but I just want to backtrack. I just want to say one little thing about the coming battle for Jerusalem. You know, I really like the backdrop of Jerusalem and the sound effects in the background, if you know what I mean. I thought was rather chilling, so to speak.
Yeah, well, you know, so I recorded two of those sessions on the Mount of Olives, of course, with the Temple Mount just behind me. And it was on a Friday, so it was all day long. The prayers were echoing out over Jerusalem from the Temple Mount, from Al-Aqsa Mosque. And, yeah, as you said, it created really the perfect backdrop for talking about the Olivet Discourse, Jesus' Sermon on the End Times. And, it was an excellent object lesson for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I just wanted to commend you on that. I really like it. And folks, if you haven't got it, you should get it. But really, immediately when I saw these things happening with, you know, Turkey, I immediately wanted to get a hold of you. And then, you know, it changed around almost instantly. Tell us about it. Was this a staged event?
You know, there's a lot of debate as to whether or not it was staged or whether or not it was a legitimate coup. You know, there's evidence in both directions. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize it, but Istanbul, the nation of Turkey, the capital of which is Istanbul, it is the espionage capital of the world. And, you know, I've spent quite a bit of time in Istanbul. And, you know, it's when you are there, if there's any reason. You know, the government is monitoring you. The level of conspiracy theories and just political intrigue that is wrapped around the nation of Turkey, the political situation there is profound. So, you know, with this present situation, there's plenty of conspiracy theories, and it's hard to really decipher what's what. From my perspective, it seems to be as if it was potentially a legitimate effort at a coup. But if that's the case, it was clearly a controlled coup, which is to say that if it was a legitimate effort, then clearly the government was aware of it beforehand. They had foreknowledge, and they were able, as a result of that, to sidestep it. Because really, you know, as I said, it was probably about 8 o'clock at night that I first heard on the news that they potentially had removed Erdogan from power, the president. Well, by the next morning, the coup had been thwarted. Well, within about 2 hours, they already arrested close to 3,000 judges. Now, what that says to me is that there was clearly already a list. You know, this was something that they were prepared for. You know, now, on the other hand, there is some evidence that many of the soldiers were told that it was all a drill, and they were shocked when they heard they were part of a so-called coup. So, you know, it's difficult to know, but clearly the government, the ruling government now, clearly was either behind it or they had advanced knowledge of it, and it has absolutely worked in their favor.
Yeah, and that's the important part. It doesn't matter whether it was staged or not staged. This has dramatically worked into Turkey's advantage, but also, you know, it makes us stand up and look like, well, what you've been saying about Turkey all along is just right on course.
You know, yeah, and that's the thing is, and you know, not because I'm a prophet, but simply through a careful analysis of the testimony, the message of the biblical prophets, I've been warning for 12 years now to watch Turkey emerge as a regional power, to emerge as a regional Islamist nationalist dictatorship. And, you know, it's been progressive. There's been some dramatic steps along the way, but there's no question we're there now. You know, and I would not in any way put it past the current government to have staged all of this for the purpose of taking over the country. Since the failed coup, there's been close to 100,000 people throughout the nation. In every facet of government, even in the public life and the private sector, who have been removed, either been put in prison, who have just disappeared, who have been arrested, etc. And so this purge that has swept the nation of Turkey in so many ways, it really reflects what we saw with the rise of Nazism with Adolf Hitler. You know, you have the Night of Long Knives, where he removed the brown shirts and really all of those who were potentially in his way of complete control. Well, the brown shirts were those that he used to rise to power. And so it was sort of a internal gang war, if you will. But that's almost identical to what we've seen now. Now, they haven't all been murdered, but he's used this so-called coup to ensconce himself in absolute power. They've suspended the Constitution, and there's no turning back at this point. His plans have been accomplished.
Right, and that goes back to End Time Eyewitness, when you showed that footage, you know, and compared him with Hitler, Erdogan, I guess that's how you pronounce it, with Hitler. That was just strictly amazing. But Joel, let's do this. Let's act like nobody's ever heard you before, and they have no idea, well, why are we talking about Turkey? And, you know, let them know what you found about Turkey and what we're talking about, so in case somebody doesn't understand.
Sure. Well, let's just start with, before we even get into biblical prophecy, let's just talk just raw geopolitical analysis. The nation of Turkey is it's a land bridge. It's a bridge between the Middle East and Europe, and, you know, so Asia and Europe. And so it's a natural land bridge for peoples. You look right now, Turkey controls the global refugee crisis. They are pouring from the Middle East into Turkey, into Europe. And Erdogan, the president, he controls the spigot. If he wants to turn it on or turn it off, and for that reason, he has Europe over barrel. It's a land bridge in terms of energy pipelines. It controls the the waterways. You know, if Russia wants to access the Mediterranean, if Russia wants to access the sea, they really only have two choices. Either they have to come down through the Black Sea, through the Bosphorus, into the Mediterranean, which Turkey controls, or they can come out the other side, out by China. You know, so even Russia is profoundly reliant on Turkey. So you've got this incredibly strategic piece of property. Turkey also has the largest military in the entire Middle East. Doesn't mean it's necessarily the most powerful, but they clearly have the largest. And so it's, you know, historically, it has been an amazing fortress Turkey has. And so that continues today. So that's just in the natural. In terms of biblical prophecy, you know, there's many things to look at. You know, we look at the seventh kingdom in Revelation 17. This was the kingdom, the head or the hill, that comes after Rome. So without getting too much detail into the prophecy, you've got five historical pagan persecuting empires that go all the way back to the beginning of the story of the Hebrews, the Jewish people, Israel. You've got Egypt, and then Assyria, and then Babylon, and then Medo-Persia, and then Greece, and then Rome was the sixth. And then it tells us that another empire is coming after Rome. Well, of course, the only empire in history that meets that criteria is the Islamic Empire, which culminated with the Ottoman Empire. That was the Turkish-led empire. They controlled the Middle East for 500 years. You know, the United States goes into the Middle East, and we get kicked out. Russia goes into the Middle East, eventually we get kicked out. The Middle East is not capable of being dominated by an outside power, but they have demonstrated that they are capable of being dominated by a Muslim power. Turkey demonstrated that they could do that for 500 years. Well, the prophecy says that that empire would come back as an eighth, that beast empire would suffer a fatal head wound and come back as a final empire. And so in the same way that the Ottoman Empire collapsed in 1923, and the office, the leadership of that government, known as the caliphate, the leadership was the caliph, mm-hmm. all of that was abolished in 1923. So we've been looking for the revival of that. Well, sure enough, in the nation of Turkey, we see one of the most powerful regional leaders emerging in that nation. Whether it will be Erdogan himself or someone who comes after is yet to be seen. But the very place where the head died, it's now coming back. We're seeing the revival, the Antichrist revival of the Seventh Empire right in front of us.
Let me say this. You know, I just snapped to it today. I was watching the video again, you know, earlier today. And I was thinking, and all of a sudden it hit me. You know, right now, if we look out across the Middle East, it looks like the Muslims can't be controlled at all. They're all just being crazy, killing everybody and slaughtering everybody. And you think, well, you know, who could ever hold that down? But then you think back, well, they have been being held down by dictators with an iron hand on them. And so it makes sense that now an iron hand would have to come back up, and it wouldn't be just Muslim, but it had to be nationalist, just like you said. And Erdogan fits it perfectly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in the nation of Turkey, the nationalism is through the roof. Americans, we can't even begin to comprehend the national pride there. You know, in the United States, we're moving to the place where half the country is celebrating it when some sports figure refuses to honor the national anthem or this sort of thing. In Turkey, if you do that, they will kick the living tar out of you in the streets. I mean, there are Turkish flags every 3 feet in Turkey. It's unfathomable. And that's not just an issue of national pride. They want to control the region. They want to revive their control of the region. They believe that the Turks believe that the Arabs are largely a bunch of uncultured, backwards, folks that need the Turkish cultural superiority to bring peace and restore a sense of order to the region. And so they believe they did it for 500 years. They believe they're divinely destined to do it again. And so it's a combination of nationalism. You know, with the Nazis, it was nationalism, but with the Turks, it's a combination of nationalism with Islam. It's this incredibly dangerous cocktail of religion meets nationalism. It's unlike anything the world has ever seen, and we are going to see the results of it in the years ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really striking to watch it. And, you know, I want to go to your video for a minute there. You know, we've been watching it at the Mission Church and in our Bible study group. They were really floored by your account of, you know, meeting with the other gentleman that was trying to say there was a Mahdi. But, you know, and then you turned around and you talked about how you were there during the riots and everything. Joel, where do you reach inside of yourself and get those things? I mean, most people wouldn't think about doing that at all whatsoever.
Well, you know, some of it's just coincidence. It's being at the wrong place at the right time. But, you know, and I'll just say this. I'm not really broadcasting it widely, but I'm actually heading to Iraq next week. The rumors are that the city of Mosul, the second largest city in Iraq, in northern Iraq, controlled by ISIS, is potentially about to be liberated within the next potentially few weeks. They're saying definitely by the end of the year. And so my heart has been to be there. Now, this is not just an issue of trying to be there for a profound moment of history, but if Mosul is liberated, they say there could be as many as another 1.2 million refugees fleeing into northern Iraq. There's roughly 1.2 right now. The humanitarian nightmare, but at the same token, the opportunity for the gospel right now is through the roof. And so this is something that we need to be paying attention to. But I would cover your prayers for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll definitely lift you up in prayer. But yeah, you seem to be all over the place, but I feel like God's hand's on you. I mean, at that moment, you know, I'll just say that for the people, you folks, you really need to get this video. It's got some dynamite things in it, and well as teaching. Right now, in our Mission Church Bible study, we just had started going over the Book of Daniel, and just everything's fitting together. Tell them what all is over at your website. Tell them where your website's in, and then we'll come back, and maybe you'll tell us a little bit about who Gog is.
You betcha. Yeah. So I'm at joelstrumpet.com, joelstrumpet.com. And that's where you can find, as you mentioned, my videos. I try to put up a new video each week called The Underground, a program, and, you know, all the resources and so forth. And I don't really answer questions in too much detail, but I try to. Some people ask questions. I throw out links and when, you know, people want to be directed in a certain way. But all my resources there at joelstrumpet.com.
Folks, go over there and check him out. He's got lots and lots of videos from back through the last 12 years, I guess, coming up. They're all interesting, and it will teach you a biblical view of the end times. And believe me, Joel's not alone in his views. Folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Man's Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, I first want to share a couple of little scriptures with you real quick, and we'll get on with the program. Luke 7:34 says, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking and said, look at this glutton and drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and of sinners." Luke 15:2 says, "So the Pharisees and scribes began to grumble. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Folks, Messiah's Branch is a mission church, and we are in one of the very, very worst parts of Wichita. And people always, when they point to it, they always say, well, you know, he's helping the homeless, but we are helping the homeless and poor. The poor, of course, are the people that come from all over the city, people that have part-time work and are trying to keep a roof over their family's heads. Not all of them are gluttons and you know, drunks, as the scripture talks about, but these people are sinners. And being in the worst part of Wichita, we can't even get people from Wichita that listen to us on radio to very seldom ever even come down there and check us out. But we're there because, you know, that's where Yeshua was at, was among the sinners. Why should we be sitting among the church? Why should we be sitting among the saved? We are among the sinners. And, yes, it is one of the worst parts of town. People get robbed right out front. There's prostitutes right out front. There's all kinds of manner of every kind of sinner outside of this church, out on the streets there. And, yes, you should be looking over your shoulder a little bit if you come down there. But you come down there in a broad daylight, pull up in the parking lot, ask any one of the homeless or poor that are there, hey, where's Pastor Dan at? They'll guide you right on in there. And so come down and check us out. You know, folks, we are responsible to care one for another, as we are brothers' keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com, because Messiah's Branch, we're a mission church. We don't sell anything. It's only folks like you that listen to us on radio that give us kind donations so that we might help the homeless and poor. Some place that Yeshua was at, he was helping the sinners, and that's what we're doing. And now we're back talking with Joel Richardson. Are you still there, Joel?
I'm still here, Pastor Dan.
Well, I'm glad to have you. Glad to have you. Let's go back. So we're talking about Turkey, and you gave kind of a geopolitical, whatever you call it, look at it. But how about Bible prophecy? Take us into why Turkey is important.
Yeah, well, I mean, beyond what I just touched on with Revelation 17, and, you know, I've talked a lot about this, Ezekiel 38:39, one of the most important prophecies in the entire Bible with regard to the end times. There's been tremendous debate. Well, there's really two debates. One is this the Antichrist? Is Gog the Antichrist, or is it some other invader? And, you know, I just debated a few weeks back, maybe a month ago, I debated Dr. Tommy Ice of the Pre-Trib Research Center down in Oklahoma City, and, you know, we talked kind of in-depth about this issue, and this was clearly one of his weaker points. He argued that Gog is someone other than the Antichrist, and I quoted the passage right there in the prophecy where God himself says to Gog, he says, "Are you not the one that I have spoken of in former days by my prophets? For many years I prophesied that in the last days I would bring you against my people Israel." And I said, "Dr. Tommy, if you want to maintain your position, then show me a single verse in any of the prophets that came before Ezekiel where they're talking about this so-called, you know, he says it's a Russian invasion that's not the Antichrist." I said, "Show me one verse where the prophets are talking about Gog, because God says you're the one that all the prophets are talking about." And he could not show a single verse. Instead, he said, "Well, these are just general end-time statements." No. God says, "You're the guy." Well, of course, you can go to any of the prophets, and they're talking about the Antichrist. They're talking about this final invasion. And so, of course, Gog is the Antichrist. There's numerous evidences within the text. Of course, I go through that in some detail there in the teaching DVD. But so not only do we know that Gog is the Antichrist, but then when you analyze the names, and where is Gog from? Where is the leader of this coalition from? Some people say it's Russia, others say it's Turkey. And as I argue, you know, in my book, Mideast Beast, and then in these teaching DVDs as well, that all scholarly evidence points to Gog coming from the nation of Turkey, from Asia Minor. And in fact, I challenged Tommy in the debate. I said, there is not one bit of solid scholarly evidence that says that Ezekiel is talking about Russia. And so we went through the issue of Rosh and Magog and, you know, all of these sort of things. And when it's all, when it all comes down to it, when you really examine the scholarly evidence, the case for it being a Russian-led invasion falls flat on its face. And so I'm looking forward, by the way, Southwest Radio Ministries will release that, the DVD of the debate, hopefully within the next couple weeks. And so, folks can really, see, you know, the weakness of that popular position here pretty soon.
Well, while I have the opportunity, I'd like to make a couple of comments on it. I had the opportunity to see it, folks. You know, the saddest part of it was at the end where, you know, it was being cut off and they were trying to close up and he just kept talking. You could tell that he had been beat. Point is that he didn't address the things that you asked him and the things that you pointed out. He never really addressed them. He went on and switched to something else. And, you know, so clearly, it's dynamite. It is dynamite. I can't wait for it to get out on DVD. So it'll be up to them to release it. You didn't film it?
Well, we filmed it, and, well, I coordinated with the camera guys, but it's, yeah, they have the rights to it, so hopefully they'll be releasing it here, here pretty quick.
Well, okay, well, so that's dynamite. But in the meantime, right now available is this Antichrist, Turkey, and the Coming Caliphate. This is a dynamite teaching series. Let's talk some more about that.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, many people have heard this idea that that Ezekiel's talking about Russia, and because they look at the word Rosh. And, of course, the word Rosh, you know, it's used roughly 600 times in the Bible, 602 times. Every single time it means chief or head. You know, we have Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. We have Rosh Kodesh. It always means head or chief. Well, in this one case, some people say it's a proper noun. It's referring to a place. Okay, well, if it is a place, then the question is, what place was it in Ezekiel's day? And so some people say, well, there were some Rosh people allegedly north of the Black Sea. Of course, north of the Black Sea, in most cases, is going to be Ukraine and not Russia. They would say there were some Rosh people north of the Black Sea in Ezekiel's day. But the point is that the homeland and the overwhelming vast majority, if Rosh is a personal noun, they would have been in Asia Minor. Because, well, first of all, that's just the overwhelming scholarly consensus testifies to that. But secondly, when you look at the wording of Ezekiel, he says, you, O Gog, are the chief prince of, let's just say it's Rosh. I personally don't believe it is referring to a place, but let's just say it is. It's Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. Well, everyone nowadays, including Tommy Ice and those that disagree with me, they would say that Meshech and Tubal referred to Asia Minor. Well, if that's the case, then the claim that Rosh is referring to Russia means that the sentence itself is nonsense. It would be like saying, you, O Gog, the prince of Russia, Turkey, and Turkey. You know, that would be like saying, you, O Obama, chief prince of Washington, Beijing, and Hong Kong. You know, well, wait a minute. Washington, Beijing, and Hong Kong, that doesn't make any sense. Now, if you said Obama, the president of Washington, Boston, and L.A., that would make sense because Boston, L.A., and Washington are all part of the same entity. And so the idea that, the idea that it's talking about Russia, it even makes Ezekiel's words to be nonsensical. And, you know, a lot of commentators will point this out. They call the statement, they call it it's an apositional statement. All of these things are intended to go together. These were all tribes in Ezekiel's day that controlled Asia Minor Turkey. The point is, the Antichrist, Gog, that's Ezekiel's name for the Antichrist, comes from Turkey. You know, and if that's the case, then shouldn't we be paying attention to Turkey? Shouldn't it matter that there is a massive regional nationalist Islamist dictatorship emerging right in front of us? That should matter if we understand what the biblical prophets are talking about. And so for that reason, I'm trying to get the discerning church to recognize what is unfolding right in front of us.
Yeah, amen. If they stick to the, I guess you'd call it the Roman paradigm, I guess is what you'd call it. If they stick to that, they're going to be consistently waiting for something that's not going to happen, for a suit and tie type. Not that Erdogan couldn't wear a suit and tie, but you know what, I think you know what I mean, a suit and tie type businessman from the West or from the European Union to rise up and do all these things that just aren't biblical. And so would that be, Joel, why the world would be caught unaware?
Well, I mean, you know, perhaps. And, you know, I use this analogy. I say, look, let's just say, you know, the church is referred to as a city on a hill, which we are. And, you know, just like in the Old Testament times, the city had a wall around it. And the watchmen were intended to stand on the wall and look for invaders. Well, you know, I personally am standing on the Eastern Wall, and I'm looking east. I'm looking to the Middle East, and I'm trying to alert the church to the army that I see arising. I'm not telling everybody to get off the Western Wall. I think it's wise to have watchmen paying attention to all scenarios because no one knows the future with certainty. But that doesn't stop us from peering into the Scriptures, making every effort to be responsible and careful, and looking east, because I believe that's where the Scriptures point to. Now, unfortunately, a lot of the guys that are on the Western Wall say, get off the Eastern Wall, nothing to see over there, don't worry about that. That's the whole Middle East is about to be wiped out, the Islamic world is going to disappear, and, you know, the Antichrist is going to be a gay Frenchman or, you know, whatever, from Europe, or Prince Charles or something. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't pay attention to Europe, I'm just saying, let's spread out. I believe that's wisdom. And let's take seriously these references, these repeated emphasis throughout the prophets to the Middle East, because that's where Israel is. And the nations that surround Israel are the nations that are named throughout the prophets as being judged in the day of the Lord when Jesus returns. So, you know, the idea that they're going to go away sometime soon and Islam's going to go away, that simply doesn't square with what the Bible actually says.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, over the years, before I got deep into Bible study, I kept hearing people telling me, well, you know, the Bible doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. And so when I read the Bible for the first time, I kept waiting for it, you know, not really to add up. But I read it from the beginning to the end. And I read it, you know, maybe not so much as the Bible, but as a, you know, a great novel or something. And so it made sense. These things that you're talking about, most of these, if you weren't churched, like I was not churched, it all makes sense and it all adds up. It only doesn't make sense is when you start putting all these different scenarios. And here's a key word, when replacement theology comes in, that just changes everything. Back to you.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny that we do this, you know, with we who believe in biblical prophecy, when we see these scholars who look at Israel in the Bible and they say, well, that's not really Israel, that's the church. In other words, they embrace replacement theology. We go, those guys are ridiculous. That's stupid. You know, they're not taking the Bible for what it says. But yet we have all these guys who look at the names throughout the prophets. It talks about Edom being destroyed when Jesus returns. It talks about Moab. It talks about Egypt. It talks about Arabia. It talks about Asia Minor, Lud. It talks about Jordan. All of the names that it uses are the peoples that surround Israel. And they go, well, that's not really what it's talking about. It's just using those words to refer to the general end time enemies of the people of God all over the world. That's replacement theology, you know? I mean, it's just, instead of applying it to Israel, we're applying it to Israel's enemies, but we're trying to say that God's words mean something other than what they clearly say. And that's just as bad as replacement theology. We just need to take the word of God for what it says. And when we do that, then like you said, it makes sense. You look out in the world, what's unfolding in the earth right now, compared to what the biblical prophets describe, it's identical. And this is a powerful reason that we can use to point to people and say, listen, the Bible is true. This word is true, and therefore not just the prophecies, but the gospel is true. Repent, therefore, because the day of the Lord is at hand. All of us will stand before him on the day of judgment, and, you know, get yourself right. We're all sinners. We all fall short, but there is grace and mercy if you'll say yes. And so I believe that this is one of our greatest tools that we need to be using. But unfortunately, as you said, I think a lot of people muddy it up, and therefore they hide the fact that these things are true and they're unfolding.
Yeah, amen. You know, even if people, if you look away and say, well, I don't understand all those countries and names, it is a fairly easy thing to do nowadays is to get an older map of what it was like in biblical times and compare it with a map of modern times. But let me say this. If we got even off of the countries and all that, just what the Bible describes of how people would be acting at this time is dramatic enough, to me anyway, to show that we are in that time of the end. What do you think?
Yeah, and you know, the phrase that I use is I say this. I say the contours of the landscape that were described by the biblical prophets, you know, that the you know, the patterns that the biblical prophets describe, it's coming into alignment. When you look at the news today, when you open up your laptop in the morning and you see what's unfolding, it is falling into place more and more every day. What has happened in Turkey is one of the big steps forward. You know, there's, we've talked a bit about the potential of an Iranian invasion of the whole Middle East. Last I just saw a news article that there are now 100,000 Iranian trained militia in Iraq. And so, yeah, there's no question that those things that were described by the prophets, they are indeed, as you said, coming into alignment.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it goes back to that. You know, it says just like people would be eating and drinking, just like in the days of Noah, and they would be caught unawares. And this other, I don't know how you want to describe the other Bible prophets or whatever they want to call themselves, and I'm not trying to pick on anybody, but with those pre-trib and all those other things where they change the names, that is going to be partially what catches the people completely unaware, because it is, it's right in front of our face. Back to you.
Yeah, and you know, there's no question that there's doctrines that potentially have the ability to, as you said, lead people to become unaware. I'm also aware, you know, of the fact that, you know, you can have your doctrines right, but misapply it. So let's say you believe we're going to be here for the tribulation, but then your primary overwhelming focus is to have enough bullets to kill everyone so that you can survive till the end. Well, that's a misapplication. I'm not saying that self-defense is wrong, but is our primary application the proclamation of the gospel and seeing as many souls snatched out of the fire as possible? You could believe in pre-trib and be focused on the gospel, and in the end, you'll be judged far more, you know, rightly than those who had the doctrine right but misapplied it. And so, you know, there's danger lurking around the corner for everyone. We want to get our doctrine right, but most importantly, we want to respond in the way that Jesus would have us respond, which is to extend the same mercy to others that he extended to us, because the bottom line is you and I, Pastor Dan, you and I, if we got what we deserved, would be in hell right now. And therefore, we're called to do everything we can to see to it that others are snatched out of the flames as well.
Well, I'm so thankful for what he did for me and did to me. He changed me from being a worthless piece of junk into a little better worthless piece of junk, because we're all sinning. But, yeah, I started to say, and I said, wait a minute, I'm not any better. But anyway, here's the point. I'm so thankful for him for what he did to me. I gave my life for him, and so I'm only happy to do whatever I can. And that's what's different about you. I'm going to have to focus on you for a minute, Joel. People should know, not everybody knows all about your evangelism and what you do in the Middle East. You do really have a heart for the Muslim people. You're sitting here talking about a Muslim or an Islamic Antichrist, but yet you're out to save them. Tell them about that. We've got about 3 minutes to do that.
Well, you know, when you only pay attention to what you see in the news, it's easy to be afraid of or hate Muslims. I understand that. But when you actually get to know people personally, you find that Muslims are deceived, just like I was deceived, perhaps far more. But they are people who are passionate for God. It's the wrong God. They're looking for God in all the wrong places. They're more passionate for God than a lot of people you'll meet at church. And so for that reason, I feel God's heart for Muslims. And I know, I'll tell you, Pastor Dan, when you meet former Muslims that give their lives to Christ, they become some of the most excited, passionate brothers and sisters, and they'll make even the most hardened, patriot weep at the goodness of God. And so, you know, I love the treasure that the Lord has hidden among our enemies, and I'm out there looking for that treasure. And by the grace of God, I believe we'll see many more former Muslims in the days ahead. We'll see many Muslims come into faith.
Yeah, amen. And that says a lot. I mean, just like we're talking right now, you know, they're going to withdraw from Mosul, and so you're going to go over there that quick. That's indeed risking your life. A man who has a family, and you have important work. Nobody was forcing you to do it, but your heart is drawing you there. That says something of the measure of the person that you are.
Well, you know, again, it's, you know, just take this off me. That's what Jesus did for us, right? He didn't, he didn't play it safe, and you know, he was willing to be mutilated on our behalf. And by the grace of God, I won't get mutilated. But and I'm not reckless. Don't get me wrong. You know, I'm not just throwing myself. But yeah, it is. It's not the safest place in the world. Northern Iraq is not the safest place in the world. But believing for God's protection, believing for the Lord's protection, and for His power to be released.
Well, neither was getting in a black. It's real smart getting in a black SUV in the middle of the night. You know, at midnight. What was it with armed men and nobody else could go along with you? the folks, you'll have to get the video to see that. And then going over there and being caught up in what you did in Turkey. It seems like for somebody that's not trying to get into those things, it seems like you have a knack for it, brother. Back to you.
Well, you know, and I'll be honest, one of the things that I think is one of the biggest strongholds in our time is fear. And, and there's times when I feel it, and I think there's a ministry of breaking fear, and you know, some people are far better at it than I am, but I think when people see that these things are possible, then they go, you know, I'll tell you a quick story if I can get it in. First time I landed in northern Iraq, everyone was saying, Joel, you're going to get beheaded on the internet. When I landed on the plane, there was this little girl on the plane. She was probably 19 years old. She had a bonnet. I thought maybe she was Mennonite. And I got off the plane. Her and this other young man were standing at the baggage claim. And I asked him, I said, are you guys Mennonites? And the young man, again, they looked like they were 15. They had to have been 19. The young man with his German accent, he said, we were Amish. But now we are trying to just follow Jesus and his teachings. And so we feel as though he's led us here to Iraq. So I got back and I said, listen, if this little 19-year-old Amish girl, and maybe it's her husband or friend, can come to northern Iraq, then anybody can do it. And, you know, if Angelina Jolie can go over there and minister in the refugee camps or do what she does, then we can do it. Then the followers of Jesus can do it. And so the opportunity is great, and we do need to get past our fears.
Boy, amen. Well, I appreciate you, brother. And tell the folks one last time where your website's at and what the latest things that they can find there, please.
You betcha. Yeah. So once again, joelstrumpet.com. And if you click on the store, what I do is I put up all the new teaching DVDs and different, you know, documentaries and things. And yeah, I've been real busy, this past year. And then it's basically the website's like a blog, so you can just go backwards and look at the different underground episodes. We're at episode number 51 right now, so you can go all the way back to the beginning and watch them all and look for different updates and check my schedule, see where I'll be speaking and that sort of thing.
Well, amen. 51, it seems like you just started it. I guess when you get my age, 61, everything just flies fast. Well, thanks for being on, brother, and I imagine we'll talk again soon. Will you be blessed and be careful, and we'll talk again.
All right, we'll check back in when I get back. Lord bless you, Pastor Dan.
All right, you be blessed. Bye-bye. Well, folks, that was Joel Richardson. You know, that's one thing you got to say about the man. I'm not trying to brag and say he's so super exceptional, but listen, He not only walks the walk, you've got to see his videos, not only the Islamic Antichrist, or not the Islamic, the Islamic Antichrist, that's on a DVD, but the Antichrist, Turkey, and the Coming Caliphate, you need to see that. End Time Eyewitness, that's dynamite. Pray About Supporting Wichita Mission Church, we really need your help. Pray About Supporting Radio. But you must remember, there really is only one God, and he is your Father. And he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That's what the word says. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Always, always, always be a blessing to others. That's what you're called to do, is to be a blessing to others, to bring people to Yeshua. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father would bless, that Father, you would bless the people and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that would you would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.